This is Glasgow Crime Stories. We dive into crime of the city's past in short episodes you can listen to anytime, anywhere. In this episode, we cover the story of one of the last criminals sent to the noose in Scotland, 19-year-old Tony Miller. The young lawyer sat in his city centre office and quietly prayed for his teenage client. 5 miles away, in Glasgow's tough Bellini prison, Tony Miller was about to die. 2 grim-faced prison officers had just entered the sparsely furnished cell where he had spent his last night. The pale, drawn teenager rose slowly to his feet in mute obedience and acceptance, having had his last meal. They led the terrified 19-year-old to a room next door, where leather straps were quickly buckled around his arms and legs. There, Britain's chief executioner, Harry Allen, dressed in a smart brown suit, covered Miller's head with a black cloth bag and placed a noose around his neck. A trap door beneath his feet was opened with a lever, and the boy dropped to his death. Tony Miller's final last plaintive words to Yorkshireman Allen were said to be, "Please, mister," before he was left dangling at the end of a rope. From start to finish, the deadly operation in Glasgow's Bellini prison had taken 11 seconds. The prison authorities reported that Miller had gone to his death with composure. A spokesman said, "There was no trouble at all." In the Glasgow offices of Levy and McRae, solicitors, 27-year-old Len Murray waited on the news that his client was dead. There would be no phone call from the prison to him or the victim's family. He would just have to hear it on the radio and read about it in the newspaper, just like everyone else. There would also be no official funeral for Tony with his family in attendance, as all those executed were buried in the prison grounds without any formalities or even a headstone. A month earlier, in November 1960, Miller had been convicted of the murder of a gay man in Queen's Park in the city's south side. Len Murray, now 89, would go on to have a brilliant career as a criminal defence lawyer, retiring in 2003. At the time, he had only been a lawyer for 3 years, but Tony Miller was already his second capital murder client. In a recent interview in the Glasgow Times, Murray told readers, "The Miller case took up 4 months of my life, from the day I received a phone call from his father asking me to represent his son. On the day of his execution, I was in my office in West Campbell Street, as I didn't want to be at home. It may sound daft, but I was sitting there praying for that boy." Emotionally, Tony Miller's case taxed me more than any other in a 50-year legal career. I never took another capital murder case after that. The execution shortly after 8 a.m. on December the 22nd, 1960, 3 days before Christmas, marked the beginning of the end of capital punishment. A second hangman, Robert Leslie Stewart, known as Jock, also assisted in the execution. Brought up close to Edinburgh's Sawton Prison, he carried out 21 hangings in his career. However, the execution of teenager Tony Miller shocked people all over Britain. They believed he should have been spared and allowed to serve his sentence in prison, offering him an opportunity for rehabilitation. More than 30,000 petitioned the Secretary of State for Scotland in a failed bid for clemency. Many of the signatures were collected by his mother Marie and father Alf, standing in George Square or Sucky Hall Street in the rain and freezing cold. They were respectable working-class parents, and their son had no previous convictions. His accomplice in the murder of the gay man they had robbed, James Denovan, only escaped the hangman's noose because at 16 he was too young. So, who was Tony Miller? He was a former apprentice cabinet maker who had a job with a removal firm at the time of his arrest. He lived with his parents and younger brother in a comfortable flat in Dixon Road, Cross Hill, Glasgow. Denovan, who had no convictions, also came from a good home in nearby Calder Street, and his father was a respected shop manager. Both boys were regulars at a popular teenage hangout, the Calfkin Cafe and Victoria Road, near their homes. There, they would chat up girls and listen to records on the jukebox. But it was also where they hatched an evil plan to attack and rob vulnerable gay men. Both boys lived close to Queen's Park, which, in 1960, was a known haunt of gay men at night. At that time, sexual relationships between males were still against the law. Men who frequented the park at night ran the risk of violent muggings, or gay bashing, as it's known now. Fearing exposure, police charges, and public ridicule, few victims reported the attacks to the police. For almost a year, Miller and Denovan trolled the park at night, claiming victims. Denovan was the bait, approaching men in park toilets and enticing them to an isolated wooded area where Miller lay in wait. The men were threatened with violence, beaten up if necessary, and robbed of cash and valuables. Miller and Denovan's vicious scheme was working well until the night of Wednesday, April the 6th, 1960, when they picked on a gay man who was not quite as vulnerable as the previous victims. John Cremin, 48, was a well-known local criminal with a reputation as a hard man and for violence. When the pair attacked him, he fought back. However, he was no match for the two teenagers, both 30 years his junior. Cremin was beaten so severely with a wooden plank by Miller that he died of massive head injuries. The pair also took the dead man's watch, a knife, his bank book, and £67 in notes, worth £1,500 now. Ironically, if his killers had fled there and then, Miller would have later escaped the hangman's noose. As the murder had occurred in the course of a robbery, it was a capital crime under the terms of the Homicide Act of 1957. Miller, then 18, and Denovan appeared to show no remorse for their evil act and targeted other gay men for weeks after. The following night, after the murder, they even went to the cinema to see Tommy the Toreador, a light-hearted musical starring British actor and singer Tommy Steele. Witnesses said they splashed out £5 notes on drinks and claimed Miller even lit a cigarette with one of the fivers. In fact, they almost got away with murder, but for a simple mistake by Denovan. Denovan had cut out a newspaper story about the killing and kept the clipping in his wallet. At the time, police had been appealing for information on the identity of their victim. When Denovan was arrested in Queen's Park on an unrelated indecency charge, detectives discovered the article and became suspicious. Denovan began panicking and confessed his crime to his horrified father. He, in turn, took his son to nearby Craigie Street Police Station, where he made a further confession and incriminated Miller. Len Murray added, "One of my biggest difficulties was telling Tony Miller's parents that their son could hang. They had assumed he was too young and would get a prison sentence if convicted. Until this case, I had been a supporter of capital punishment, like most people. The attitude of the day was, if you've killed someone, you must hang for it. As a result of the Miller case, I became firmly against it. That's because the punishment is not on the offender, but on his family. I also think it was inhuman what society did to a 19-year-old boy who had never previously broken the law in his life." The two teenagers appeared at Glasgow Sheriff Court charged with murder and carrying out other attacks on gay men in Queen's Park. Both were remanded in custody at Bellini Prison in Glasgow in a case that had become a media sensation. They went on trial in November 1960 at the High Court in Glasgow before a packed court, and the jury took just 33 minutes to return a guilty verdict on both. The evidence against the two youths had been overwhelming, with friends telling the court that both had boasted about killing Cremin. One of the pair had even pointed out the spot in the park where the attack had taken place. Denovan also callously suggested the observer 2 minutes' silence for him. Both accused had been seen with the victim's bankbook and freshly issued banknotes. Murray decided that Miller shouldn't give evidence in his own defence, as was his right. However, Denovan took to the witness box and blamed Miller for the murder. The trial judge, Lord Wheatley, ruled Denovan's involvement in the killing was not a capital offence and imposed a sentence of life imprisonment. But when Lord Wheatley turned to Miller, he donned the traditional black cap and told the terrified teenager that he was to be hanged within the prison walls the following month. The jury had found him guilty by a unanimous verdict. Lord Wheatley said, "Anthony Joseph Miller, in respect of the verdict of capital murder just received, for which the law imposes but one sentence, the sentence of the court is that you be taken from this place to the prison of Ballinny, Glasgow, therein to be detained until the 7th day of December next, and upon that day, within the said prison of Ballinny, Glasgow, between the hours of 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock forenoon, you will suffer death by hanging." One juror, who had just helped to convict Miller, wept. Murray says that the trial judge could have offered the jury the option of bringing in a verdict of culpable homicide had he wanted. The lawyer added, "That would have been one way for the jury to avoid returning a capital verdict, which juries did not like to bring in." But Lord Wheatley was never a judge for soft options. The public campaign to save Tony Miller's life began immediately. Murray continued, "We examined the judge's directions to the jury and lodged an appeal. The mood at the time was very much that, no matter the crime, no society had the right to inflict such a punishment on an individual or condemn those he left behind to never-ending torment." Murray visited his client often to keep him informed. He said, "His attitude was that if it were the will of God, then he would be reprieved. If it were not God's will, then it would not happen." I found this an extraordinary attitude in one so young. In those weeks following his conviction, Tony Miller was acquiring a maturity far beyond his years. The execution date of December the 7th was postponed pending the outcome of the appeal in Edinburgh. It was dismissed as completely devoid of substance by three judges. Miller's only hope was the public campaign to persuade John Maclay, the Secretary of State for Scotland, to recommend the royal prerogative, which would have commuted the death sentence to one of life imprisonment. But on December the 19th, the 30,000 signature petition was rejected. The day before the execution, Miller's mum, Marie, sat in her living room and stared blankly into the coal fire. She told one newspaper, "Tony will be hanged, but I will never remember him as a killer. Now is the end of everything for Tony and me. He used to bring stray cats and dogs into the house, once an injured bird. Violence was alien to him, but what's done cannot be undone." Len Murray added, "I could not believe what was happening. Here we were in the latter part of the 20th century, in a civilized community which was going to hang a 19-year-old boy. The barbarity and the futility of it were inconsistent with our claim to be a civilized society." Len Murray went on to represent stars like Paul McCartney and Billy Connolly, but never heard from the Miller family again. He said, "I can understand that, because contacting me would only open old wounds they were trying to heal. That was the end of it, and I was glad that was the end of it." Miller's hanging would be the last execution carried out in Ballinny and the second last in Scotland. Miller was also the last teenager to be executed in Britain. Serial killers like Ian Brady and Myra Hindley escaped the noose by a matter of months because of its abolition in 1965. Over the years, there were campaigns by some politicians to have the death penalty restored. Joe Beltrami, the legendary Glasgow solicitor who handled several capital murder cases, once commented, "Hanging will never come back because of numerous miscarriages of justice. The idea of hanging someone for a crime they did not commit is a nightmare." Gallows were kept in Scotland's jails until 1995. The prisoners who were hanged in Ballinnie are still buried in unmarked graves beneath the prison walls. In 2020, it emerged that all those executed at Ballinnie may have to be exhumed, as the prison would close in 2025 to make way for a new prison nearby, and the land sold off. It has been suggested that any surviving family members could have the opportunity to finally lay their loved ones to rest. If not, the remains are likely to be cremated. A theatre play about Miller's last days in the condemned cell, Please, Mister, was performed in 2010, starring Ian de Caestecker in the role of Miller, and David Heyman, who had previously played the part of another notorious Glasgow killer, Jimmy Boyle. A TV movie was also made in 2014 about the Miller case. A total of 33 men and one woman were hanged in Scotland in the 20th century. One more Scot, Henry John Burnet, was executed at Aberdeen in 1963, before hanging was abolished in 1965. And that was not before time, according to lawyer Len Murray. He said, "To those who say it is a deterrent, I say it is not. I have never seen any evidence from any country in the world that shows capital punishment as a deterrent. The great majority of murders, in my experience, are committed in the heat of a moment. Possible punishment is the farthest thing from the mind of the killer. I was instructed in a number of murder cases over the years, and I never came across one where the accused had stopped to think what punishment would be imposed. I consider capital punishment, especially hanging, to be barbaric, repugnant, and quite unworthy of a civilized society." Miller spent his last night in the same cell used by serial killer Peter Manuel in 1958, when he went to his death. Manuel had been convicted of seven murders between 1955 and 1957, including the deaths of two families. He was the last person, before Tony Miller, to be hanged at Ballinnie. Len Murray devoted three chapters to Tony Miller in his best-selling 2002 memoir, The Pleader. He said, "Tony was, of course, a killer who had done terrible things. But what crime had his parents committed? What had they done to deserve such pain? Those reasons alone, apart from any moral repugnance at hanging someone, were enough for me to realise we had to end a barbaric and useless practice." After Miller's execution, we kept up the pressure, and I'm delighted to say that 5 years later, society had abolished capital punishment. Not only did it end a horrible practice, but it ensured respectable people, such as the Millers, would no longer have to bear such a terrible burden. As a criminal lawyer, you forget about most cases with the passage of time. But there was never any chance that I would forget about Tony Miller.
This podcast was brought to you by the Glasgow Times. With a digital subscription, you can access our exclusive, insightful, and trustworthy local news from just £2 for 2 months. We are also currently offering 20% off our annual rate with the code GlasgowPod22. This offer is for new subscribers only and is only available with the promotional code given in this podcast. Subscriptions will renew at the standard rates unless cancelled.